Well, he's a big Kansas City Royals fan. Yep, he went to the World Series games. And using a baseball analogy with the help of John Fogarty, Cavern Capital Partners' Doug Sciocca says, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play. He, though, is referring to interest rates. He joins Corey and me on this Wednesday. He's in our New York studio. Great to have you here, because you guys are based in Kansas City. No, Leawood, Kansas.
Leawood, Kansas. Suburban Kansas City.
Good to have you here with us, Doug.
Thank you.
Talk to us about this idea of interest rates and putting them in, ready to play. Time to raise interest rates?
Well, I think it is time to raise interest rates, and I think the interest rate team has maybe preempted the Fed action, and we made this analogy to our beloved Kansas City Royals. Corey, your Giants got us last year. I think they may have left a little destiny dust out at Kauffman Stadium, and the Royals were able to scoop it up this year. And
a fine effort by a fine team.
We think the Fed and Janet Yellen and the Royals and their general manager, Dayton Moore, they have a common goal, right? I mean, their goal is to tame the cyclicality of their prosperity. Mm-hmm. And they need to do that by breaking with tradition, right? Traditionally, the Fed has been way too late and stayed around way too long. And what we think the market in this environment would warrant is them coming in now. We think that in regards to the interest rates, there's been a correction in anticipation. In regards to the currency markets, there's been an elevation in anticipation. And we think that they need to play to the strengths of the market. We think that at this point, they have to focus on playing what the Royals call small ball. And small ball means taking opportunities in a very globally competitive landscape, understanding that a good part of this, as I said, has been priced in, but also the very clear diminishing return effects of the extraordinarily extended monetary policy that they have been deploying, right? People are not lining up to borrow more money, and unfortunately, on the converse, people are not saving less money. So we think it's time for the Fed to move.
Why do you think they're holding off? I mean, there are concerns about, you know, potentially hurting the economy. Is it just an empty argument in your view?
I don't think it's an empty argument. I think they want to err on the side of caution, but I think that they have done that. And to the
we're to, 9 years in on this cycle.
I mean, 7 years at the same zero bound, 0.25% rate. So I think that the Fed is taking into effect a couple things, not the least of which is they're bearing 100% of the burden of the economic recovery, because there has been zero corroborating fiscal policy.
Right.
So in its absence, unfortunately, the Fed at this point may be even an obstructionist to the normalcy of that economic cycle. But if they can tame it by being a little preemptive, even though we haven't supposedly seen the whites of the eyes of inflation, then I think it goes a long way to restoring some credibility.
See, so this is interesting. I mean, I love the comparison. Which I also totally reject, because the cyclicality of the Kansas City Royals wasn't a problem. In fact, they were very steadily and repeatedly and dependably terrible
for a good
20-some years. Yeah, right. And it sort of raises the question of what the economy – so play the forward of the economy, right? It isn't necessarily – if the Fed's goal is to reduce the highs and lows, right, is that sort of – creates the notion that there's an underlying strength, that without the cyclicality, without the highs and lows, that there will be consistent growth if you can just level out the worry, which I would argue, you know, in sports, that's not the case, that changing, getting rid of consistent. You want the highs, you just don't want the lows.
Well,
so I wonder if Fed policy through quantitative easing and over and over again has actually tried to boost things, has tried to give us the highs and avoid the lows, as opposed to merely reducing the cyclicality and let capitalism work its magic.
Well, I think in defense of the Royals' poor 30-year performance record, since the new regime took over in 2006, there's been a bottoming out of sorts that has taken place. I do think that compares favorably with what had happened with the economy, the end of Ben Bernanke's tenure and the beginning of Janet Yellen's, coming through the depths of the financial crisis. But in recognition that in a market that is defined by technological innovation, it will continuously and it will stubbornly suppress pricing power below historical trends, right? And so you never say this time is different, but this era is different. This generation is different. The world's flatter, more competitive, and therefore more commoditized. And in light of that, what the Fed needs to do is look for incremental boosts to economic growth and not try to take big swings to hit home runs. The same analogy holds true in the sports metaphor, for sure, is you have to assess the market size of your team. You have to assess the size of your payroll. You have to assess the strength of the organization. And ultimately, you've got to play good defense. But there's a period of time when you can be too defensive. And I think the Fed is there.
Do you write a lot about interest rates in this recent note, Doug? But how much do you really care about interest rates and what you do on a daily basis? I mean, you guys are long-term investors.
We're long-term investors, but we're also balanced investors.
Okay.
And we think that, is has been stated several times in the past, savers have been punished. Lending money for lengths of time is not producing positive real rates of return. That is very defeatist in assessing capital markets. So we think it's very important to establish opportunities to where you can actually be well compensated for your risk and actually perform expected return calculations with a reasonable discount rate, which right now has been just so synthetically low for so long.
So what do you do right now? And I'm curious what you did through all the volatility that we saw through the summer.
Yeah, so we have actually found this to be a very interesting opportunistic environment for us because we're value-oriented active managers that focus both domestically and internationally.
There are better values, right? Late
there
summer,
are better values
September.
And there are different tailwinds and headwinds depending on where you are focusing around the globe.
Mm-hmm.
So we really think that the same metaphor for the Fed, the same metaphor for the Royals holds to investing money. You actually have to look at hitting signals. We don't feel like there's an environment that is underwriting taking excessive risks because the prospects of striking out are very great. Just look at the volatility of intra-price or intraday price movements around this earnings season.
Mm-hmm.
On any given day, we're seeing prices of stocks that have otherwise reasonable valuations trading up and down 15 or 20%. So spreading your risk around, focusing now on sectors that should receive tailwinds from higher interest rates.
Such as?
Financial services sector for sure, some healthcare, consumer discretionary, and certainly technology.
What don't you like, just quickly?
We don't like some of the bond surrogates, because if rates do start to see a lift, then those should likely be left behind.
By the way, your Top Gun call sign is Lieutenant Doug Troubleshooter Sioka.
I'll take it. Troubleshooter, wow.
Nice much, little couch.
Yeah, much better than couch. We're going to leave it there. Hey, Doug, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you so much.
Nice to have you here. Doug Sioka, he's Chief Executive Officer, partner at Cavour Capital Partners, $400 million in assets under management, based in Leawood, Kansas, and joining us here.